Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning. I'm happy and excited that Braden is going to be preaching tonight. So not only does that take a load off of me, but I get to sit and enjoy him preaching. I hope he doesn't do too good because I might be out of a job. So I'm just planning out he'll do a great job, and I hope you'll come back and worship with us tonight. And really looking forward to Braden's lesson. If you would please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. A lot is said about faith in our religion, about our walk with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a great chapter of faith. It is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. As the writer of Hebrews sits down and he pens this, and he talks about people whom we can look to, people throughout time who have been examples of faith that we can look to try to mold our faith after. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 6, he tells us a tidbit about faith. He says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him." So we know that for us to be pleasing to God, that we have to have faith. And with faith, we have to diligently seek Him. And the Hebrew writer tells us, and then he gives us a list of people who we can look to, whose life was full of faith that we can try to model ourselves after. If you're an athlete, you want to model yourself after somebody. If you're a quarterback, in my opinion, you want to model yourself after a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. If you're a businessman, you want to model yourself after Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or somebody like that. You want to find somebody whom you can model yourself after. Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us how we can do that with faith. In verses 8 through 9, it says, "And by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place where he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise." Then we skip down to verse 17 through 19. It says also, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac all your offspring shall be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." Abraham was praised through his faith in this chapter. Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. Abraham is known as the patriarch of three major world religions. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity all trace their roots back to Abraham. Abraham is a man who was revered throughout the known world. Abraham's faith was not an untested faith. His faith was full of challenges, and it made him rely solely on God. If you would, please turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. This morning I want us to look at the faith of Abraham. And as we look at the faith of Abraham, it is easy to see that Abraham's faith was not cheap faith. Abraham's faith was not faith that was untested, but yet it was challenged time and time again. Abraham's faith was challenged in a many multitude of ways, but us this morning we'll look at four ways in which Abraham's faith was challenged. First of all, Abraham's faith was challenged by patience. Let's read verses 1 through 4. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will dishonor you, and I will dishonor those who curse you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you.'" When Abraham was called by God, he was 75 years old. When Abraham was 75 years old, God came to him and said, "Abram, you're going to leave your family. You're going to pack up your wife. You're going to take all the possessions that you have. You're going to take your servants that you have, and you're going to leave. You're going to leave your father's house, and you're never going to see him again. And you're going to go to a land that I will show you, a land that you've never been to before, and I will give you this land. And I will make all the nations of the earth blessed through your descendants." But there's a problem. Abraham is 75 years old and he has no son. His wife is 65 years old and she has had no child. So Abraham goes out totally on faith on God. Turn to chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Genesis. Verses 1 through 6. We see Abraham is still patiently waiting for that promise to come through. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great.' But Abram said, 'O Lord God, what will you give me? for I continue childless, and my heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. Very soon your own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said, Look at the heavens, number the stars. If you are able to number them, number the stars. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness. You see, Abraham had promised, had listened to the promise of God. And Abraham trusted in God in faith. And for 10 years, Abraham had been wandering, and he had not had a son. Abraham was now 85 years old. He was 75 years old when he left his father's house. His wife was 75. Can you imagine the kind of patience and how Abraham's faith was challenged each and every day, with each passing week and with each passing month and with each passing year, that God promised him that he was going to have a son? But Abraham was already skeptical because he was 75 years old and his wife was 65. He was already skeptical in his faith. And 10 years passed and still no son. I couldn't imagine trying to have a child for 10 years and not being able to have that and still keeping that faith that God was going to bless you with a child. And then we see in Genesis chapter 16 that Abram and Sarah are just tired of waiting. And they take matters into their own hand, and Ishmael's born. And we see in Genesis chapter 16, verse 16, that Abraham is 86 years old when Ishmael's born. Abraham and Sarah had waited for 11 years, and they just couldn't wait any longer. They had given up faith in God. They were tired of waiting for His time. They were tired of waiting for Him to fulfill His promise. And they were willing to take matters into His own hands. You see, their faith was tested, and their faith was challenged by their patience. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings and peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So Abraham has been waiting for God to bless him with a son for 25 years. And when God first tells Abraham that He's going to give him a son, that He's going to make him a nation of descendants, he believes God so much that he's willing to take his wife and everything that he has and leave his father's house and never see his family again. Because that's how much he has faith in God. And 25 years later, Abraham has no son. God tells him continually, I'm going to give you a son, I'm going to give you a son. And the first time he tells Abraham that, he's willing to go anywhere in the world to follow God. That's how much faith he has in Him. And Genesis chapter 17, God says, You're going to bear a son. And what does Abraham do? He falls on his face and he laughs. The faith that was so strong that he was willing to take everything that he had and to leave had been reduced to falling on his face and laughing. You see, Abraham's faith was tested by patience. He was tired of waiting for 25 years for an heir, for a son. But in chapter 21, verse 5, we read, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Abraham had to wait for 25 years, but God was faithful to His promise. Abraham was 100 years old, Sarah was 90, but they did have a son, Isaac, the promised son that they were waiting for. Abraham and Sarah's faith was challenged by patience for 25 years. Have you ever been challenged in your faith when it comes to patience? Have you ever wanted something so bad and could not understand why God would not bless you with it? Have you ever waited for so long for something? Maybe it wasn't even spiritual, but have you ever waited for something for so long that your actual faith was shaken by your patience? The scenario is different from person to person, but I believe each and every one of us has been in some situation where our faith was shaken in which we were tired of being patient. We were tired of waiting for something to come our way. Maybe it was a promotion at work. Maybe it was a child in the case of Sarah and Abraham. I remember my parents telling me that they tried for 2 years to have my sister. And for some people, that's a long time. And for some people, that doesn't even start to define the time that they had to wait for a child. But they said it had gotten to the point where, you know, they were saying, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. You see, their faith in each other and their faith in God probably was shaken for the fact that we're trying to have a child and just couldn't have it. I could not imagine waiting 25 years for God to give me something that He promised He was going to give me. Not only were these people trying to have a child, God told them, you're going to have a son. And can you imagine how their faith was shaking with each passing month? That promised son that God told them they were going to have didn't come. And with each passing year, and with each passing decade, 25 years. But they had faith in God and eventually did have their son. Their faith was tested by patience. Abraham's faith was also tested by disappointment. Turning it back to Genesis chapter 12. Please turn back to Genesis chapter 12 and read verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred to your father's house to a land that I will show you. Abraham, get your things together because I'm going to take you and I'm going to give you a land. And it's going to be for your descendants forever. So Abraham gets all his wife and all of his possessions and he loads up and he starts making the trek down to Canaan. We read in verse 5. Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions they had gathered and the people they had acquired and Haran. Then they set out to go to a land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Can you imagine God coming to you and telling you that He's going to take you to a place? That He's going to take you to a place and your family's going to live there forever. Your descendants that come after you will be blessed. And they're going to live in this one particular land. And so you take your wife and your possessions and you go down this land. And you're waiting, you're thinking about this. You've never been in this place before. But God tells you that He's going to take you to this place. And you start thinking in your mind about how beautiful this place is going to be, how green it's going to be, how wonderful it's going to be for livestock, just how your family is going to multiply and gain wealth because God is taking you to this land and you get there. It's taken months to make this journey. And Abraham gets there and there's a famine and everything's dead. And there's not even enough food to live off of. So they have to go down to Egypt and stay for a while till the famine is over. Abraham has waited so long to get to this land that his family is going to have forever. And he gets there, and everything is dead. He can't even stay there. This land that God is going to give him, he has to go down to Egypt to live because there's no food. Can you imagine the disappointment for Abraham? To get to this land that God has promised him, and to see that it's just all dead. You've seen fields and farms and famines, right? Remember in 2009 we had a really bad drought in the farming industry, especially in this part of the world and even the Midwest, took a really bad hit. You know, the grass is brown. The crops are dry. There's no food. Farmers go broke. Abraham is a farmer. He's in agriculture. And he goes this land and everything's dead. Can you imagine the disappointment? Abraham's faith was shaken by disappointment. But Abraham believed in God and he trusted in God. And he came back to Canaan after the famine was over. And he lived there. And his family became slaves in Egypt. But they came back and they conquered the land of Canaan and dwelt there and prospered there. Abraham's faith was shaken by disappointment. But he didn't turn back and go back home. He trusted in God. And he waited for that land to become his and his family's. Has your faith ever been shaken by disappointment? I think all of us have. As I said before, different ways but for different people. But I think all of us have wanted something so bad and have gotten something and were disappointed with it. And maybe that made you feel like your life wasn't fair and God didn't love you. And maybe your faith was shaken for that. But I think all of us at different times in our lives are shaken when it comes to disappointment. Abraham's greatest test of faith was by obedience. If you turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. The first thing we talked about was how Abraham was tested by patience. And our illustration was how he had to wait for his son Isaac. He had to wait for Isaac for 25 years. Can you imagine waiting for a son for 25 years? And after that son comes, can you imagine just how much you have to try not to spoil that son? I mean, this is the promised son. You've been waiting for 25 years to have this son. And you see this son grow up before you, and this son is now a young man, probably in his late teens, and then you get to chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. Abraham left his home and everything that he had for the promise of a son. And he waited for 25 years. And in waiting for 25 years, his faith was brought down so low that he laughed at God when he was told that he was going to bear a son. But he bore that son. And he had that son, that only son, the one whom he loved. And God tells him, all right, Abraham, you waited so long for a son, go kill him as a burnt offering. I don't want to try to be too graphic, but pretty much take a knife, slit his throat, put him on a pile of wood, and burn him after you slit his throat. Can you imagine the kind of faith of obedience that would take on Abraham's part? You just waited 25 years for a son. God, you finally gave me a son. That's what you promised me. And now you want me to go make him as a burnt offering, like a goat, like a sheep? Are you serious? This is ridiculous. Abraham's faith was tried by obedience, more so than any of us can ever claim to have our faith tried by obedience. I mean, this is why Abraham is praised, this one act, for being so faithful to God. We see in verse 3, it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took his young man with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place on which God had told him. Verses 10 through 12. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham passes the test. He trusts God. I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation. It's easy from our standpoint, looking back 4,000 years and saying, oh yes, I would have trusted God too, because I feel like God would have stopped me in the meantime. But Abraham didn't have that luxury. We just read that passage in Hebrews, and Hebrews tells us why Abraham was willing to do that to his own son. And that's because Abraham seriously thought he was going to have to kill Isaac. But he had enough faith in God that he knew that he would raise him from the dead. Abraham knew that God promised me that he would give me a son. Son Isaac. And he promised me that I was going to have a nation. A multitude of descendants. And he promised me that all nations of the earth were going to be blessed through Isaac. God promised me that. So when God came to Abraham and said, go kill your son Isaac. Abraham knew this couldn't be the end because God cannot lie. He knew if he expects me to kill Isaac, he's going to have to raise him from the dead. Because Isaac doesn't have a son. And he's supposed to bear me a nation. That's who the blessing is supposed to go through. You see, Abraham had a tremendous amount of faith. But his faith was shaken by being obedient to God. But his faith persevered. I cannot understand or imagine the kind of faith that it took on Abraham's part to sit there with a knife and fixing to come down on his only son. The kind of faith in that moment just, it impresses me. I don't know how to describe it. But God blesses him for this faith. Has your faith ever been shaken by being obedient to God? I think if we all answer that question is yes. Has anybody ever had to count the cost of what it was going to take to be obedient to Christ? I think so. One of the best examples I can think of is somebody who comes out of the denominational world into the Church of Christ, the Church of Christ established. Because if that person has a family who's established and a denominational background, that person has to seriously weigh the cost of obedience. If I do this, I'm telling my family that I don't think what they're doing is right. If I take this step, I'm making a statement not only to myself, but to all those who know me, to all those who go to that old church, all those who go and practice that man-made religion, that I'm not part of that anymore, that I don't accept that, but I'm going to stand with Christ. To me, that's one of the strongest examples of trying to weigh the cost of being obedient to Christ that we have in today. But even those who don't come out of the denominational background, we have to all weigh the cost of discipleship when it comes to Christ. Abraham had to weigh that cost in offering up his only son. But his faith was not deterred. It was shaken, but it came through. Finally, Abraham's faith was challenged by silence. When we look at the Old Testament, And sometimes we think of Moses, how he talked to God. It seems like Moses talked to God almost daily. But we look at the Old Testament when God spoke directly to people, and we get envious of that. Or at least I have. But you see, in the 100 years recorded of Abraham's life, God only speaks to Abraham 8 times. In 100 years, God only speaks to Abraham 8 times. You see, Abraham didn't have the luxury of going to the Bible and opening it up and reading God's Word. All he had to go on was God. God tells Abraham, look, you're going to leave your family. You're going to go to land I'll show you. And Abraham gets his stuff and he goes. He doesn't sit there and have a dialogue with God. Well, are you sure? Are you positive? Can you show me a sign? Can you give you some kind of insurance? Because I don't really know. Abraham, go kill your son Isaac. 8 times in 100 years, Abraham's faith was challenged by silence. Has your faith ever been challenged by silence? Has anybody ever thought, man, I wish I could just have a conversation with God? Has anybody ever thought that? I know I have. I know we speak to God through prayer and He speaks to us through His Word. But has anybody ever just really wished, man, I wish I could just ask Him a question? You know, who should I marry? You know, for those who are single and not married, who are despaired, you know, who should I marry? You know, maybe those who have a family who have been established in some part of the country, and you have a job offer in a different part of the country, and you're torn, and you don't know which one to take. And you wish you could just throw it up to a higher power who knows everything and say, God, I don't know which decision to make. I wish you could just tell me. You know, sometimes our faith is challenged by silence. Abraham's faith was challenged by silence, but yet he stayed faithful to the Father. Abraham is the father of the faithful. He believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's faith was challenged and it was tested. Abraham was known for his faith, and we see that in Hebrews chapter 11. But we must realize that Abraham's faith is not cheap faith. Abraham's faith was a faith that was challenged and was tested in a multitude of ways. This morning we've looked at 4. We've looked at patience, disappointment, obedience, and silence. Sometimes our faith is challenged by different things. Each and every one of us has and will be challenged in our faith by different variables. But we have to be like Abraham and have faith and trust in God that supersedes any challenge. Our faith will be challenged just like Abraham's. But we must always stay with God no matter the cost. All nations were to be blessed through Abraham. That blessing was Christ Jesus. You see, man is sin. And with sin, you will die in your sins and you cannot live with God for eternity. That's where Christ comes in. That's that blessing that everyone in the world could take a part of through Abraham, through his seed, Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians, Paul is trying to tell those who are of the Jewish faith and also those who are not of Jewish descent that they can be heirs of Abraham. In verses 27 through 29, Paul really brings this home. He says, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Abraham was given a promise. That promise was to come through Christ. And if you want a part of that promise, if you want everlasting life, then you have to be Christ. You have to be in Christ. Well, how do you do that? Paul tells us this. You have to be baptized into Christ. If you have not been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you do not have the blessings of Abraham. You do not have that gift. You do not have the cleansing blood of Christ and the forgiveness of your sins. And you will die in your sins if you never take that step of faith and obedience. That's something everyone must do. If you have done that and your faith has been shaken past a point where your faith lies and shatters, and you need help putting that faith back together by your brothers and sisters in Christ, or need to repent of anything, if there's anything we can do for you this morning, please come now as we stand and sing.
I've a home prepared where the saints abide just over in the